Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, What tempt ye me, ye hypocrites? Show me the tribute money. They brought him to a penny, and he saith unto them, Whose is this image and superscription? And the text, the message is going to come from verse 21. And it says, Then said unto him, Caesar's. Then saith he unto them, Render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. And when they had heard these words, they marveled and left him and went their way. All right, let's pray real quick. Lord, thank you for the day, the opportunity to share your word, dear Lord God. Just be with the message. Let me just say what needs to be said, dear Lord God. Let me not add anything to it, dear Lord God. And just be with these young people as we celebrate them. Ask these things in your name. Amen. So to kind of put that in, I'm trying to change my photo. To kind of put that in context, the Pharisees were trying to trap Jesus. They pretend to ask him an honest question. Should we pay taxes to Caesar or not? So if Jesus said yes, then the Jewish people would accuse him of supporting Rome. But if he said no, then Rome could arrest him. So he kind of turned the tables on him because, no, you can't trick the God Almighty. And instead he asked for a coin. And it says, whose image and superscription? They reply it was Caesar's. The point of that was it wasn't about paying taxes. It was about ownership. The coin has Caesar's image, so it belonged to Caesar. But the Bible tells us that mankind belongs to God because we are made in his image. So the real question is, have we given God what already belongs to him? So many people want enough God to feel safe. They want enough church to be spiritual, or at least look spiritual. And they want enough religion to kind of ease the guilt. But they don't want to completely surrender their lives. Now, a while back, I say maybe a month or so ago, on Sunday we went to Texas Roadhouse. I think where it was. And that's the first time ever we ate there. And so it was pretty good. I also had leftovers. So the next day I did that up and ate it. And it just wasn't quite as good as it was the day before. That's kind of how we are with God. We give him our leftovers. We don't give him the first thing that we have. But he's worthy of everything that we have. So in Matthew 22:20, it says, And he saith unto him, Who is this image and superscription? Now, as I mentioned, it had Caesar on it. And Genesis 1 in verse 27, and of course I did not mark that. And it's somewhere in the front of my Bible. All right, Genesis 1, verse 27 says, So God created man in his own image, and in the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. So if God created us, and he did, then we belong to him. So our breath belongs to him. Our future belongs to him. Our worship belongs to him. Everything belongs to him who created us. Now, Dad had a saying about the word Christian, and he chopped off the little end of the I-A-N. And he said, well, that I-A-N is a reminder that I am nothing, because without Christ, I am nothing. And that's why he always used for the word Christian. And we just kind of fill in our extra space, our extra time with God. It's not our first thing that we do. So We'll spend hours watching the Braves, hours doing the hobby, hours on social media, because we don't plan on, we're just going to check Facebook, but before you know it, you know, you're down a rabbit hole. Or same thing with YouTube or TikTok or anything else. But yet, when we go to bed at night, we look back and it's like, where did the day go? I didn't have time to pray. I didn't have time to read my Bible. Well, you did. You just chose not to. But that reveals what we value the most. Now, we all love Brother Josh. So, if they chose one of us to give $1 million to today, we'll tell them thank you. But then tomorrow they say, hey, you want another $1 million? And gives it to us. And then Saturday, another $1 million. Then Sunday, another $1 million. One was our questioning, why? Where did it come from? But we thank them. We will be grateful. But every day, God gives us life. He gives us breath. He gives us mercy. He gives us grace. And we hardly even think about it. And what he gives us is so much more than what any man can give us. Now, I'm not going to flip there because, like I said, I'm going to go quick. But in Revelation 4:11, if you want to make note of that, it mentions that God deserves our worship. Because of who he is. Not because of what he gives us. He's not a genie in a bottle. He's not somebody that we just pray to when we have a hard time and then forget about during the good times. So we need to give God our obedience. In 1 Samuel 15:22, it says, And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offering and sacrifices, as in obeying the voice of the Lord. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of teams. Now, in Matthew, the Pharisees, they kind of look spiritual on the outside, but they resisted God internally. But that happens still today in church. We have folks out singing in the choir. We have people who carry their Bible. They know the Christian lingo. And they look faithful. But they refuse to give God everything that they have. They just play the part. But a delayed or partial obedience is still disobedience. So while I was writing this out and thinking about it, you know, God put a thought in my head, which kind of convicted me a little bit. But it was like, what if your child obeyed you as often as you obeyed God? And I don't think I would be very, I would not be where I need to be. Y'all know that I like to fix things, not mechanically, but I try to fix things as far as if there's a problem, I try to take care of it ahead of time. And then once it becomes a bigger mess, I pray about it. I've gotten better with it, but it's still a struggle. But you may struggle with unforgiveness and bitterness and pride and keep on saying, one day I'll deal with it. That's not obedience. That's rebellion. I'm going to skip a few things. Now, many people want heaven without the holiness. They want blessings without obedience, and they want salvation without surrender. We like Jesus being our Savior because that's our ticket out of hell. But we struggle with Jesus as our Lord. The difference is, lordship means he leads us, he guides us, he directs us, he makes our decisions, and he corrects us. We like the salvation part, but we don't care for the correction part too much. But Christianity is not adding Jesus to your life. It is giving him your life. And one of the things I have struggled with really up until the last 7-8 years is really being, you know, in God's will. You know, the church where we came from, my dad called and said, hey, I need help with children's church. I need help with the kids. So we went. I don't recall us ever praying about it. Dad said we need to help, so we went and helped. And we did a good work there. I think we were a blessing there, and they blessed us, but I'm not so sure that was in God's will. And life is so much better when you let God guide you. And I have struggled with that. And I have tried to do, kind of instill it a little bit with the teenagers, that there's more to the Bible than just a bunch of stories from a long time ago. Everything that we encounter, everything we will face, the Word of God has to answer to. But everything is so fast. You know, we go through drive-thrus on the way home. We, you know, we use our microwave more than we use our oven. And we just are looking for an instant answer. And if we go to social media, if we go to even to your youth pastor, you may not get the right answer. You need to go to the Word of God. Your youth pastor needs to go to the Word of God to give you the right answer. But any of us we're human. We're failures that are just saved by grace. And unintentionally, you know, we can mislead somebody. The Bible has everything that we need. We need to make it a habit of reading it. You know, just Brother Josh doesn't have our chronological reading just because he wants us to read the Bible. There's more than that. He wants us to grow more in our Christian walk. Because everything we need in life, God has already supplied. We just need to be obedient in reading the Bible and being faithful to what he has directed us to. So, I'll wrap that up. So, I'm going to pray real quick, and then when I get done praying, Christy and Katie and all the kids, y'all go out front. Okay? All right, let's pray. Lord, thank you for today. I know this was kind of scattered a little bit all over the place, Lord God, but I felt I needed to quit where I needed to, dear Lord God. Just be with these young people, dear Lord God. No, as we award them and celebrate them, dear Lord God, but we want them just to know that they have the support of the church. No matter what they face, no matter what they deal with, we're behind them and we'll support them, dear Lord God. Just be with them during the sermon, dear Lord God. Let them stay focused on you. Ask you to say your name. Amen. All right.